This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Get your motor
running. Fender Bender on Joy 94.9, revving up the weekends with news and views on all things motoring.
Yes, welcome once again to another edition of Fender Bender. Tim Nicholson here with you, with a couple of very wonderful gentlemen here in the studio with me. Looking very forward to your company for the next hour. It's Joy's very own motoring show. We've got lots to talk about, heaps to get through. We're even going to talk about how sexy Toyota is. We've done it before. We are going to do it again. Big thanks, of course, to Luke and the gang. They'll be back next week. Now, Mike, we are joined in the studio by the very lovely Fionn Tor. Hello.
You're too kind. Hello.
How are you? I think you actually are too kind.
I might be.
I don't know if he's that.
We love you, Tim.
All right. Thank you. How's things? You well?
I'm very well, yes.
Yeah, we haven't seen you in a few weeks.
It's been a while. Mm. I've been driving some sick cars.
Have you?
And I don't mean in the, you know, catching a cold. I mean like, you know, like fully sick.
Fully sick. Oh.
So, have you been cutting some trap laps?
Look, I don't like to kiss and tell, but yes. Yes, I have.
I don't like to kiss and tell, but yes.
That's how I roll.
Yeah. I don't like to kiss and tell, but I'm totally going to kiss and tell.
Assisted my arm. That's, yeah.
Yeah, which we might be talking about a little bit later on, some of those cars that you've had a bit of a spin in, which is good. Well, I hope you haven't had a spin. You've just driven them.
Just driving. Yeah,
exactly right. Now, we've got to say a big thank you to all of our wonderful listeners as well. Yesterday saw the end of 2015 Radiothon. So, I wish I was smart enough to work out how to do a round of applause on the new machine we have here, but I don't and I can't. So let's just give everyone a round of applause, shall we? Woo-hoo. Congratulations, you. Lots of money raised and all to a wonderful cause. So thank you. And whoever, we'll find out, I think, next week or no, in a couple of weeks, who's going to win the Smart 4-2, who's going to be zipping around town
is cool.
In a little Smart, which is very, very exciting. You will look smart if you do it. Oh, shut up, Tim. Just shut up for once in your stupid life.
Love it.
All good. Now, lots happening this week. We're going to have a bit of a chat a bit later about some funky little brands on the rise in Australia, and one very massive brand that is, I don't think it's on the rise. Toyota's just kind of...
They're pumping.
Yeah.
They are pumping.
Big time.
The blood in their veins is just... Oof.
Honestly.
You cannot stop it.
It's all too much.
Wow, that's a very outlandish thing to say about Toyota.
That's a bit saucy, isn't it? I'm feeling a little warm in here, guys.
They've got a little bit of hot stuff. Let's give them a little bit of credit.
And we'll have a chat about that later. But first up, guys, now we've had this week a bit of brief news. Hyundai have finally confirmed that they're going to have a little subcompact crossover, like a Trax rival. But the name.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be called the Hyundai Creta.
As in the island of Crete.
Yes.
Greek island of Crete.
So I thought it was Creta. I thought it was Creta.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Well, I spoke to Hyundai's PR boss and he laughed at me and said, oh, that's a good one. So clearly that's not how you pronounce
it. It is Creta, as in
it's Creta.
Excreta. But that's all I think about is excreta.
Here's the thing. So this thing's based on a Chinese market car called the iX25, which is already on sale there, but nowhere else. Yeah. And it taps into that booming micro SUV market that Hyundai has been sorely missing from. The story for Australia, though, is a bit unusual because Hyundai Australia... We spoke to the boss of Hyundai Australia not long ago, and he said, oh, it's a few years away. And then this thing comes out, and then Hyundai Australia says, we don't know if it's coming here or not, which tells me that perhaps there's a little bit of confusion as to exactly what this car is and where it's going to be made and where it's going to be sold. And it's kind of a bigger story with Hyundai in Australia at the moment because there's a light commercial ute happening in America called the Santa Cruz, and we don't know if we're getting that. There's a big van in Korea called the H350, not coming to Australia. There's the next generation i20 light car, which is one of Australia's top-selling light cars at the moment. The new one in Europe, made in Turkey, probably not coming here because it's too expensive. There's the i10 below that, not coming here, too expensive. It's almost like Hyundai hasn't quite, as Hyundai's grown and got bigger and better and stronger, it hasn't quite figured out how to get its cars into all the markets.
Yeah.
And this is another example of, you know, Hyundai has these cool things coming, maybe with daft names, but we don't know if we're going to get them here. Mm. It's sort of a bit of a trend that I've been noticing. I don't know what Hyundai is doing, but it doesn't seem to be doing it very well.
No. It is weird. And then they, but then they have things like, you know, they've got two mid-sized cars in a, yes, you know, a segment that's arguably on the decline. You know?
They have that in civil segments where they sort of double up. And, yeah. And you know, you wonder, will they continue with this where they have two similarly sized cars in one segment? Is, yeah, it, is it feasible in the long term? Yeah, I just think as long as they bring a car in called the Cretan, I think that's a good thing. I think that's a great thing.
Look, it is positive, let's be honest. We're all going to have a lot of fun with that. I can't think of any like more recent horrible names of cars. I'm sure there have been. And, you know, if you could think of a car name over the years that is absolutely foul.
The problem is it's all numbers now, numbers and letters.
Yeah. Well,
which is playing it safe.
Yeah,
you know, it is.
Because if you have a name, you can be offensive. The Mitsubishi Pajero being the perfect example.
That's right.
Sold as the Shogun because Pajero in Spanish means something rather.
Pajero.
Yeah. So, you know, it's less
risky. Look it up on Google.
You may as well give your car a number rather than a name because it's less risky.
Exactly. Now, something else we saw this week, actually, which is a bit exciting, is the next Opel Astra, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
So it's the new generation version.
Astra's back.
Astra is back. You know, well, weirdly, though, obviously in Australia, Holden has just released the current generation Astra, which we saw here. We've been through this before on the show. It was here as an Opel, didn't work, blah, blah, blah. Now it's back as Holden in current generation guys. Now we're seeing the new one. Holden are being a bit weird about what's happening.
Oh, don't make any mistake. Holden is going to bring this car here. Currently, it has the Cruise, and it can't not have the Cruise because it makes the Cruise here. But the Cruise is selling terribly because it's really, really old compared to its rivals. It may not be made here till the end because there's a brand new Cruise coming, but they're going to keep making the old one here.
Yeah.
It's all a bit confusing. But the bottom line is Holden will bring this Astra that we've seen here to Australia probably next year, let's be honest about it, because it knows it has to. And it looks really cool.
It does,
you know,
look
like
good.
The current Astra wasn't bad. It was a decent Golf rival, but not quite as schmick. But the new one, I mean, GM's really gotten on the bandwagon of in-car connectivity now. Like, its multimedia systems are great.
It's all happening.
Apple CarPlay and Android Mirror Link and all that cool stuff that's happening. And it looks pretty interesting. It's got that, you know, sort of slick Euro look about it. And
it does.
I think it'll do pretty well here. People love the Astra badge as well. You know, it's a pretty well-known and well-loved badge.
It is. But it doesn't have that. I feel like there are some badges that they keep kind of wheeling back or whatever that have, I don't know, I don't think they have as positive kind of brand whatever as the Astra. I think you're right with that. I think it is really well-loved. But I feel like Holden going forward should start ditching some of the old ones like Barina. I think it's time for Barina
Corsa
to go. Yep.
Holden Corsa.
Yep.
Sonic.
Don't you think? Like, I think it's time, if they want to reinvent themselves as a brand that's desirable, which they're not, because people our generation and a little bit younger, generally, their parents bought a Ford or their parents bought a Holden because they had to. Nobody wants to do that anymore. People who are not interested in cars, they're like, I don't want a Holden. My dad had one. Like, why would I want to do
that? And it's not just patriotic to say this. I mean, the Holden Commodore is actually a genuinely excellent car. But outside the Commodore, Holden's product range, it doesn't really lead any segment. You know, it's not as if its cars are terrible all the time. It's just that it doesn't really have any cars that absolutely are clearly the best in segment.
Yep.
But when if it brings cars from Europe, like the Astra, there's every chance that it will be best in segment again. So, yeah, I think it's lost that cachet. And, you know, names are a massive factor.
I think so.
You can say, oh, a name has been around forever, therefore people know about it. But if it's got bad baggage, maybe you don't want that name.
Yeah, I knew someone like that. Bit of bad baggage. but
let's not get too go personal.
The point runs deeper than that, too. You talk about younger people desiring cars and whatnot. It's just it's starting to happen less and less.
Yeah.
Where in Australia, it's not too bad. We're still seeing very positive sales. But I think in some countries across the world, in the next 10, 15 years, you'll see car sales really dropping off because young people don't want cars.
Yeah.
They don't want to drive. They've got great public transport. They live in a city. They're urbanized areas. There's no need for a car.
No.
And parking's a hassle and so on and so forth. So we're going to see a shift, I think, and we'll see.
Rubbish.
We'll see a lot more. We'll see a lot more car sharing.
Car sales have been consistently growing year on year on year on year. They're at record levels as we speak. And any drop-off you see in Europe will be easily made up for by growth in markets like China and India. Car sales around the world will increase rapidly.
Maybe, but I think there will be a lot of young people that just are not buying cars. They don't have the passion that perhaps we did
I think it's more of a niche
for our Fords
thing
and our Holdens, perhaps.
I think 18, 19-year-olds, like, there's still a percentage that love cars, but maybe, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago, it was everybody loved cars to a degree because it was freedom, and it was you know, the sign of you growing up and becoming your own person in a way. And maybe that isn't the same as it was.
Yeah, I can see that. Especially kids growing up around the inner city, like, you know, they're just not ever going to need a car.
Yeah, no. But then the kids like me growing up in the country, I mean, you got to have a car, and same as you, Tim. So I mean, I think there are some people that will always need cars.
Mega cities, no. Maybe. Country people, yes.
Yeah,
exactly. Melbourne's not quite a mega city yet, but we'll get there. We'll get there, damn it. I can see a crane out the window. Yeah?
Exactly. I mean, they're building stuff.
Growth is happening, guys.
Yeah.
Now, we've got a lot more coming up today on Fender Bender, so please make sure you stick around. And always, always text in if you want to have a chat to us, say hi, or ask us a question that we will attempt to answer. 0427JOY949 is the text line, or email on air at joy.org.au. We would always love to hear from you. You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Tim, Mike and Fionn here with you on reasonable Saturday afternoon.
It's lovely out there.
Is it?
There's a bit of sun. I felt a bit of sun on my skin when I walked in.
Yeah, it's nice in the sun. Well, we're in winter now. It's all happening. You know?
I do have a scarf, though. So
yeah, you got to in this city.
Pretty cool.
Tell you what. Now, guys, so it would be remiss of us if we didn't talk about the biggest story in the Australian automotive scene at the moment.
Arguably ever.
Well, this is it. It's dramatic. It's like an episode of Dynasty without the catfights and the dresses.
Brilliant.
Yes. Although, who knows where it could go.
Well, exactly. I'm looking for a catfight.
Luxury yachts, cars, superstars,
planes, possibly.
It's going to get better and better as time goes on.
But so dramatic.
Mike, fill us in.
Okay, so all this is alleged at this point.
Destroyed,
alleged. I can't state that enough. Fiat Chrysler has lodged a court case, suit against some former senior staffers over what it claims was the misuse of company funds. The total that I've read has been somewhere around $30 million. And it was for allegedly, you know, things like, you know, contracting out work, from that company to an external company at, you know, more or at higher rates than they should have. Mm. And then it turns out that some people within Fiat Chrysler actually owned an interest in the companies that it was contracting out to. Stuff like that.
Yep.
Or, you know, mobile floating billboards as advertisements was just a word for buying someone a yacht. And things like this.
So,
giving Louis Vuitton handbags to staffers and all kinds of things that are all alleged and are all before the courts. So, you know, we need to be clear on that. These are just, these are charges, but it hasn't been confirmed one way or another. But it is this soap opera-esque thing of, you know, the car industry has this kind of glamorous case before it of, you know, allegedly some people doing crazy things with company money.
Yep. I think it's just very disappointing. I don't know what you guys think about if these allegations are true and that's found out. I just think it's sad that, I think the automotive industry, like any industry, should be under scrutiny at all times, and there should be that kind of transparency. Great. And it's just how did this, you know, occur, if it occurred?
Well, there's greed. Greed is something that takes hold of people. And then I guess at a point where one thing I was reading this morning, and this is one thing that, you know, is somewhat known about, during the GFC in America, Fiat Chrysler was one of the companies that was struggling, almost went under. You could probably say that checks and balances, you know, it would be safe to say weren't as strong as perhaps they could have been. Otherwise, these things couldn't have happened in the first place, allegedly. But you've got, I think, just the basic human thing of greed. If you can do something, sometimes you will.
And I just think is sad. But, you know, look at FIFA at the moment. I mean, just getting off topic here. Yeah. But, like, it's everywhere. And it's disgusting.
Well, but, you know, isn't it? You find yourself in a situation where you can maybe get away with something.
Well,
I mean, who knows how you'd react until you're in that situation.
It's true. I thought I could get away with bleached hair when I was younger, and I can tell you now I did not get
Touché.
Away with that.
Touché. Indeed.
Yeah, it was shocking.
It's interesting, just quickly, some of the benefactors of this $30 million are people like Shane Warne and Harry Kewell, and they were called ambassadors for the brand, and they got vehicles and all sorts of things. But apparently they're going to be...
Well, I mean, you can't blame them.
No.
Why would they suspect anything was remiss, even if it was true? Why would they, you know...
And they shouldn't. And, you know, that's the thing with a celebrity ambassador, and they probably wouldn't see what's happening kind of in the back end. I find it interesting that some of that reporting that came out originally was very heavily around those celebrities. I'm like, oh, I don't know
if that's... how you lure people in.
Oh, totally.
That's what
big photos of Warnie and Liz Hurley.
But it was
totally.
Things like, I remember, you know... being a car journo, and as you guys are as well, there was an event a few years ago where, you know, there was a few journos and a few managers, you know, competed in a 24-hour race.
Yeah, the Bathurst.
Little Fiat 500s, and had a segment made for them.
12
at the time, it seemed, 12 hours, sorry. And it seemed, you know, rather extravagant. You thought, this is an interesting move, but surely they can justify it. It's good for press and publicity and things. And it turns out it was quite expensive. And it turns out that it was, something that not many companies would do.
I believe the person at the centre of the allegations, Clyde Campbell, was one of the drivers, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
And so there was definitely known that there was a lot of extravagance. But then again, Fiat Chrysler was a company that was tripling its sales in almost overnight.
They were making money.
It was a company that was doing brilliantly in the sales charts, and everyone just thought, you know, they're just promoting their brand. They're a brand that needs attention. They're spending money, splashing cash to make sure people know who they are. They had good advertising. It was a glamorous brand.
Yeah.
And, you know, allegedly, perhaps the money that was being used wasn't entirely used properly.
Let me ask you, though, do you guys think that this will have, you know, this has got a long way before it's playing out? I mean, we haven't even gone to the first hearing yet. That's happening in a couple of weeks. Is this going to impact the brand in Australia, any of those brands?
I don't think so.
Not a jot. No. Not a jot. I don't think the average Joe probably doesn't really. This is a story that's entertaining to motoring circles and people interested in cars.
We like it, but everyone else
And it's on the front page of The Age or the Daily Telegraph, and someone will read it and say, oh, wow. And then I don't think it's going to stick in the public consciousness. I think, you know, some of the Fiat Chrysler brands have, you know, got issues as it is, you know, with things. You know, we've heard stories about recalls and things like that. That might have an effect, but I don't think this will have any effect.
Yeah. People look at the cars and they go, that's a pretty car. It's a Jeep, it's cool, it's tough, I want one. And that's a lot of the time how cars sell. People like the look of it, and it's...
Yeah. That's true. Well, look, there's a lot more to come on this, so we will keep you informed, mainly because we want to know. So
we love the gossip.
We do love the gossip. Now, Mike, I believe somebody's texted in. Earlier we were talking about car names meaning something else or being a bit dodgy.
Go to Google.
Yeah,
we've
had a texter saying a Fiat Ritmo, which is a car that was never sold in Australia, was sold as Strada in the UK and USA, as Ritmo was a ladies' sanitary product. Another example.
I love that.
And a great example. Well, thanks for that.
Exactly.
Savvy move.
It was actually, I thought it was sold here, the Ritmo, really briefly.
They had the Bravo, they had the Punto.
I think the Ritmo was too.
Was it sold here?
Because I think it was actually the Bravo, but they had to change the name
of
it.
Under Tico, the previous.
Sorry, Mike.
Briefly.
But only briefly. Yeah, you're quite right.
I'm indeed wrong, and I completely ignore it.
Do you know what, though? It's actually a good-looking little thing.
I didn't mind it.
I saw Ritmo recently. I was like, what's that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Italian style.
Yeah. Now, moving right along, speaking of style, let's talk Toyota, boys.
Oh, of course.
Sex. Sorry. Just say sex and Toyota in the same sentence. Now, so in the last couple of weeks, Toyota's kind of come out on top on a couple of different lists that we get given. Now, one of them is apparently Toyota is the world's most valuable automotive brand.
Well, consider this. Volkswagen is the second top-selling brand in the world after Toyota. Mm. Toyota's margins and Toyota's profits and Toyota's giant pile of money that it's sitting on absolutely dwarfs Volkswagens in every area.
Yeah.
Like, Toyota's exceptionally good. We kind of laugh at Toyota. We say, oh, you know, they make fridges on wheels.
Mm.
And yet they are the top-selling brand in the world, and they have more money than any other car company just stashed away.
It's crackers.
And they've figured it out. You know, most people out there don't really... You know, it's all well and good to make a car that does all these cool, fancy, techie things, which Toyota is increasingly doing as well, I would add.
Mm.
But it also does the bread and butter stuff so well that it's got the Scrooge McDuck thing where you could jump off a pedestal and just fall into a pit of money. That's Toyota.
That would be painful. I've thought about that. Swimming through coins, that would be
painful.
It would
be.
When you dive in, you'd just hurt your head. But anyway...
It's very
true. That's an excellent point.
Yes. So there's a difference here between being number one selling and having the most valuable brand. Mm. So this study basically says that the Toyota name is valuable in and of itself. It's not about its cars or anything like that. It's how popular this is, how people know about it, and
I think
its
it came
reputation.
On the overall list, it was all brands. Apple came out on top, and you know,
Google,
Microsoft,
second,
Google, IBM were the top four or whatever.
Google used to be top, apparently.
Yeah, that's it. Now, Toyota was like 30-something. So the automotive starts well down the list, which is interesting. But they also, this week, it was just a survey done by Roy Morgan, I think, a list of brands that Australian new car intenders are most fond of. So above BMW, Mercedes, Audi, all that kind of stuff, Toyota. And on this list, they did a comparison to the previous year. Out of the three Australian car makers, you know, people that build cars here. Toyota were either up or level, but the only other two that were down on the list were Ford and Holden. So no, wow.
Well, you know, it's funny, there isn't it? Because the way we look at cars, being new car reviewers, is we drive one and it's new, and we say what's interesting and cool and exciting. Mm. But the thing that probably excites, and when I, you know, as a car owner, what would excite me and what does excite me is how is it to service? What are the dealers like?
Yeah.
How does the company treat me? Yeah. Toyota has the cheapest servicing. It's got, I mean, I spoke to the, you know, one of Toyota's senior managers recently who said, you know, we've ordered our salesmen to stop haggling so much with customers because customers hate it. We want to, you know, they really understand what customers want.
Yeah.
So maybe a Corolla isn't exciting, but as a car to own, it's never going to cost you much.
Mm.
It's always going to be reliable. The dealers are really, they have a good reputation by and large, not entirely. I'm sure there are some bad stories out there. But I mean, that's probably what excites people to think, you know, I don't care about cars, but this one ain't going to hurt me to own.
It's affordability. Money talks. And at the end of the day, that's why Toyota is number one in a lot of places. Mm. They're reliable. They're affordable. And yeah, exactly right, Mike.
It's almost like those recalls. Remember the massive recalls? At the time, they were record recalls.
They were.
Yes.
Does anyone even remember or care?
And isn't it amazing how strong, because Toyota's still synonymous with reliability.
Yeah.
And yet Toyota, it had at the time, GM has now passed it, as has the Takata recall. Mm. But at the time, it was the biggest recall of all time in motoring.
Mm.
And, you know, for a very brief window there, it was, oh, wow, Toyota. And then it was almost forgotten about.
It's interesting,
it's like
isn't
it?
It
never happened.
Yeah, but again, if that was another brand, I think it would have a much bigger impact
If it was Jeep, for instance.
Oh.
You know, people already, you know, maybe don't think as highly of brands such as that or some French brands like Citroën or Peugeot. And if they went through that, which they haven't, but if they did, people would lose their minds.
Bear in mind, Toyota's not completely beige cardigan wearing these days. They have the Toyota 86, which is an affordable rear drive sports
car.
They're
also the leader in hydrogen technology, arguably.
Indeed. Yep. And there's a new car they're developing with BMW. And this is going to be a sports car coming out. We don't really know when, but
Akio Toyoda, the boss of Toyota, is a race driver.
he's a petrol head, this guy.
He's an actual he's a very, very highly skilled race driver. He's competed in a lot of high-end races. Loves performance cars,
And he's pushing that angle. He wants sports cars with Toyota again. So,
and let me ask you, though, because I was wondering about this, and he is, you know, he's very vocal about, you know, injecting some excitement. But do you think in our lifetime we're going to see a Camry or a Corolla that's like, gee, that's actually sexy, or that's a really exciting car to drive? Like, look at something like in America, that Nissan Maxima that they've released. You know, the Maxima's been a pretty dull thing. That is a striking-looking car, and it's really interesting and different. They're going after a younger market. Is Akio going to push that with those mainstream models?
No. I think what will happen is Toyota will spin off a number of interesting niche products, like the BMW-developed sports car, like the 86, like the Mirai hydrogen car, like the next Prius, which will probably look really interesting.
Hope so.
The bread-and-butter cars are Corolla and Camry. Why would you ever risk losing millions and millions and millions of sales on something that's controversial and polarizing?
Mm.
It'll look pleasant, it'll look nice, but it's not going to be outlandish. And it would be, frankly, stupid of Toyota to do that.
Mm.
You can do both. You can have your cake and eat it too. You know, stream of reliable, just plain Jane, you know, interesting stuff. And then you have your interesting, amazing stuff on the other stream. And I think that's what the company will try and do.
So no spinners, 22-inch rims and
you can fit those, man.
Neon lights? Or?
You can fit those.
Only on yours, man. But that's the same. I mean, I think it was somebody high up at Honda said recently something similar, like, are you ever going to kind of razz up your design? And they were like, nah.
Why would we?
Exactly. Because America, like, they're gigantic in America.
Mm.
And they've got to kind of be safe over there.
Conservative styling gets sales because, you know, a large majority of new car buyers are over the age of 50. And so a lot of people don't want really wild out their designs. And
Which is understandable.
Yes.
Speaking of wild out there, I've got nothing. This is Fender Bender. We do have a lot more coming up in the next 30 minutes, so please, please stick around. That's correct. You are listening to Fender Bender. Tim, Mike and Fiona here with you for another 28 minutes or so. It's 4:32 here in Melbourne. It's 25 degrees.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah. Excellent radio voice. We need some dodgy sound effects in the background and we can be completely hackneyed.
Totally. I do have to plan that. You are with Fender Bender, as we said, talking cars, talking Toyota a little bit earlier.
We love cars.
We do.
We love bikes.
We love being inside them.
We love being inside a lot of things, don't we?
We do.
Oh,
we do. Cars.
Fionn really is the king of subtlety.
He is.
Subtle humour goes right over Fionn's head.
But speaking of bikes, this year we will be doing another bike show. When? I can't answer that. But we will be doing another bike show.
Can I be there?
Yeah.
Sick.
It's kind of my way of asking you. Now, yes, we were talking right. about Toyota, the biggest car maker in Australia Toyota. By a long, 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 long margin. But there are a few other little players, Mike Costello.
Yeah, we're looking at the opposite end of the spectrum. So, so you know, one thing that excites me and doesn't excite very many of my colleagues is...
Mike has his sales sheet out.
Yeah, when every month VFACTS, yeah. it's called VFACTS, is run by the Federal Chamber of Automotive Industries. It's a measure of all the registrations of all the cars in a given month and in a given year. So you can say what's selling well, what's growing, what's shrinking, what's doing what segments are up, what segments are down, brands that are doing well, all these different trends you can find. One of the interesting ones that I spotted last month was at the opposite end of the market from Toyota, some of these niche players. So the whole market is up about 2.5% this year. So it's going okay. It's going a little bit. Not as much as it was a couple of years ago, but it's better than last year, right?
And there's a lot of brands in the market.
Most fragmented competitive market in the entire world. And this is exactly
60
where...
60 plus, yeah?
Yeah, and this is exactly where this comes in. Because we're seeing this trend of niche, outsider, left of centre, yet affordable European brands. Brands that perhaps some people at one point might have looked down their nose at, growing at well above the industry rates. I'm talking brands like Citroën, up almost 20%
Very
this
left
year.
Of centre.
I'm talking Mini, up 65% this year.
What?
Peugeot, up 8%, not so much, but still four times the industry rate. Renault up 28% and Skoda up 36%. These are five brands that, you know, they're French or they're Czech or from the UK that probably, you know, aren't that widely known. Mini maybe, but the others not that widely known, and yet they're growing at rates that put most other brands to complete shame. And I don't know whether you'd call it enough to call it a trend, but you look at a lot of other European brands, sort of blue chip European brands, Maserati, Porsche, Ferrari, Mercedes-Benz, BMW, Audi, they're all up heaps as well.
Yep.
But at the lower end, the second tier Euro brands, they're doing equally well. I find it really interesting that perhaps people are starting to realise they've got options outside of just Mazda, Hyundai and Toyota or Holden. And those brands are all doing well too. But, you know, you've got other options and they're a bit weird and a bit wacky. And it's probably because we've seen these brands doing things they weren't doing in the past. Yeah. Citroën has a 6-year warranty now, which is second only to Kia as far as warranties go. And that probably will allay a lot of the stresses that you might have about owning a French car.
Yeah.
You've got Mini now has a 5-door Mini, you know, an actual
Which
five-door
I'm
Mini
seeing
hatch.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
It's a great car. We've all driven it and it's a very good car.
Is it?
I love it.
I think it's pretty good.
I don't care for those extra doors.
Well, I don't care about the doors, but that 3-cylinder turbo engine and it wobbles the car a bit and it throbs and, you know.
Hello.
Whatever.
And we've got, you know, the new Peugeot 308, which is almost up there with the Golf for the best in class. The Renault is doing vans now. It's doing Clios for 16 grand drive away before you even haggle, which is an absolute bargain.
And their cars are getting better too as well.
Yeah, they're all right.
Who,
Renault? I'm not a sold on Renault as a lot of people, to be honest with you, but they're okay.
Yeah,
they look cute. The Clio looks really cool. It looks funky, and that's the secret to its success. I mean, Skoda is really one to watch. It's finally getting its act together here.
Yeah.
New Octavia
it's been a
is
long
great.
Time.
The new Fabia launches next month, and I would mention it's a light car, about, you know, sub 20 grand. It's going to have standard autonomous brakes. It's going to have Apple CarPlay, one of the first cars to have that. It's going to be a really, really good option, maybe the best in class. It's got all these interesting things coming out. So that's a company sort of on the up and up.
I noticed their Rapid, which we named as one of the underappreciated cars last year the Fender Bender Raddest Car of the Years, is well up as well. Like, it doesn't sell many, so it's
quite easy to grow from a base that low.
Again, great little car.
I just love the names. Skoda Rapid, Skoda Superb. I mean, that's, wow, that's a lot to live up to there.
Exactly.
Yeah, I actually Fabia.
When I was in Europe last time, I drove the new Gen Superb, which isn't here yet, but it will be before the end of the year. It's really good.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
It looks nicer. Yeah. It looks a lot nicer.
But I just find it really interesting that Aussies appear to be, and look, we're talking tiny numbers here. We're talking tiny, tiny, tiny numbers.
They're off a small base,
exactly. Like, Renault is the biggest of those five brands, and it's the 16th biggest brand in the country. You know, brands like Citroën are in the 30s or 40s. So these are a long way down the totem pole. It's not like in Europe where these brands dominate and they're everywhere. But they are growing, and they're growing at a rate that dwarfs most other companies. It's really interesting to see that people are starting to realize they've got a lot of other options out there.
Yeah, and look, I think a lot of those options are quite affordable. Gone are the days when it was, you know, I'm going to buy a European car and it's going to be a BMW or something like that,
and which it's a 10 is still or 20 grand premium.
Right now,
drive away, you pay the same for a Polo or a Renault Clio as you would for a Barina or a Kia Rio. They're exactly the same price. $15,990 drive away, all of them.
And even that segment above that. the 308, they've just readjusted their pricing.
$21,990.
Honestly, love that.
The Corolla is $21,990. It's the same as the Corolla.
Yeah.
And the days and the exchange rate might hurt that in time.
Yeah.
The Golf is now the third biggest selling small car.
Mm.
It outsold the Hyundai i30 last month.
Yeah.
So, you know, the days of, it's really interesting that you're touching it, the days of European cars being only premium products.
Yeah.
Nope. Mm. Nope, nope, nope.
Which is interesting, though, because then as far as them kind of positioning themselves branding-wise, they can't really say that they're a BMW competitor anymore, can they? Like your Renaults and that kind of thing. They're not. Yeah.
And the brands that do, so Volvo is one that comes to mind. Yeah. Volvo is down 30% this year. And Volvo, for a long time, in my opinion, has been overcharging. And it's been charging the same rates for its cars as Audi and BMW does. And in my opinion...
In some case, more.
Yeah, and look, Volvo would obviously argue, and a lot of owners would, but in my opinion, it shouldn't be charging that much. And its sales are really down. And I think it's reflective of the point that you just make.
Mm.
You know, some people don't take... Just because it's European doesn't automatically mean it's premium.
Yeah.
What do you think, dear listeners? Is it a case of you see something like a Citroen or a Peugeot? Are they more appealing to you now? Send us a text and let us know.
0427JOY949 or email on air at joy.org.au. They are the ways to contact us. But, I mean, you know, a lot of, I would say, people in the industry are probably more interested in buying something that's a little bit quirkier, a little bit... I know I personally would prefer to not have a car that every single other person has. Mazda 3 is a terrific car, one of the best in the class.
Very, very good.
I don't want to buy one. Do you know what I mean? Like, I would personally, I want something that's a bit... That's why I'm attracted to the Rapid. No one's got one. I like it.
And a great name.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, you know, there really is that as well. And that's a big thing, I think, in not just Australian culture, but in all cultures, of having something that nobody else has or not many other people have.
And this is why VFAX is interesting, Finn, because you can... All these trends that you can spot.
See? Do you not care for it? Do you?
No, of course. I have to work with it too. But
you have to.
I just don't want to talk about it here.
Really? It's funny. No, because I'm with you, Mike. I don't get excited when it comes out, but
I do. At my publication, there's one other guy that's the same as me.
Yeah.
And everyone else is just like, oh god.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going, ha, it's the best day of the month. Yay.
Lockdown.
It's basically like the ARIA charts of cars. It tells you who's winning, who's the most popular. So it is, in a way, it is.
Yeah.
Of course, it's important.
That is important.
And, but anyway, moving
that's
on.
That's very true. So yeah, get in touch. 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. We do love to hear from you. We've got a lot more coming up very, very shortly.
Hi, this is Kylie Minogue and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
You sure are, Kylie Minogue. Oh my God, it's so good to have you in the studio.
Hi, Kylie.
Oh, she's so pretty.
She's shy. She doesn't want to say anything else. She's totally there, though.
She drives a car.
Often I do see Kylie when she's in Melbourne, she is driven in an Audi A8.
Oh, very nice.
She doesn't need all that legroom.
$200,000 worth of...
She?
Beautiful luxury from Germany.
Oh. Exactly.
Anyway.
Why not? Why not? Now, we've had a text in, Michael.
We've had a couple of texts in.
Excellent.
We've had Michael from Geelong saying, I'm waiting to take delivery of a brand new Mini 5-door and I can't wait.
Good
on
you.
Not interested in driving something else the same as everyone else, which is...
Good point.
Exactly the point we're making. And I'm glad somebody else agrees. We've also had an email from Gary in Brisbane saying... Gary and Philip from Brisbane. Gary loves his 500 Pop, Fiat 500 Pop. Great car. And Philip has a Volkswagen Passat. The 500 Pop is especially another example of a little left of centre city car that probably...
Yeah.
Well, it does sell quite well, actually, these days. It's right up there with the best. But for a long time, it was a real niche car and it certainly looks like nothing else on the road. So
I see that. You see them everywhere. There's another car I see everywhere.
I live in South Melbourne, work in Richmond, very, you know, CBD area. And having one of those for a week, that little Pop, I mean...
Oh, that'd be perfect.
It was great.
Oh, they're very cheap now, and they do sell quite well. But for a long time, they didn't.
Yeah.
You know, so it's only a recent thing.
Do you know what's going to be interesting, just really quickly on a side note? What is going to happen with the next Fiat 500? And when is that?
Well, it's the same
happen?
As the Volkswagen Beetle when they brought the Beetle back.
Do you know what
Mini.
I mean?
There's three generations of Mini now. Very evolutionary.
Yeah.
And because the 500 is based on the Cinquecento, it has to look a certain way.
Yeah.
I can't see them going... Too far.
It'll be slightly different headlights, I think.
Do you reckon?
It'll have a new platform and decent new engines.
Yeah.
But, you know, the funny thing is, the 500 might be technically in its first generation since it was reborn, but it's a completely different car. It's got new engines, new interior, new features, you know. So they've kind of updated it rather than having all new ones coming out.
Mm. Yeah.
Whereas Mini, because they're using BMW's money, has a whole new platform. It has a whole new everything. It's a bit different.
But,
yeah.
Well, we will see. We will wait and see.
But, bring that on.
Exactly right. Now, Finn, speaking of bringing things on, you have had quite the fun few weeks recently, I believe.
Yes. I had a Tasmanian adventure.
Awesome.
In Love Van Diemen's Land. Yeah. Yeah. So,
I wish they kept it as Van Diemen's.
It's a cool, right?
More dramatic. It is, totally. As that is. And they had I wish they kept Melbourne as Batmania.
Yeah, yeah.
It used to be called Batmania.
Ooh, yeah. Awesome. Mm. Might pass on that one, but...
Batmania in Van Diemen's Land? Come on. It's the best ferry trip ever.
So, my publication, Motoring, we got 15 cars together, all performance cars. So we got Porsches, we got Mercedes, we got, you know, all the fast stuff. And we put them on a boat, Spirit of Tassie, and we went across to Tassie to do this giant test. And one of the coolest and worst things about the whole adventure was the boat trip over. Anyone who's ever been on the Spirit of Tassie, I'm sure it's, you know, it's quite nice sometimes and it's quite tranquil and there's, you know, there's a restaurant there and the food's pretty good and yeah, that's cool. But when there's a 4 meter swell and another 4 meter waves on top of that, it's like the apocalypse is raining down on you. And
Yeah,
a lot of vomit. So it was bad.
Oh,
so I'm like,
I'm too terrified to go on that boat.
It made the whole test more of an adventure because it was like we had to go through some, you know, Bermuda Triangle cyclone.
Yeah,
you know, it was just
ridiculous. Did you have a bit of a vomity experience?
Not myself. No, I actually quite enjoyed it. I'm lying in my little bed.
I'm absolutely not surprised by that.
The boat's going. You can feel it go down the wave, and I'm lifting up out of my bed. I can feel the G-forces. It was phenomenal. And then the boat bangs on the bottom of the... Oh, it was...
I think it's one of the roughest ferry trips anywhere in the world because Bass Strait's a pretty nasty little bit of
unforgettable.
Water.
Unforgettable. So, yeah. But we got there. We were all fine and we tested these cars and we had rain, we had snow. It was just full on. We had a day at a racetrack as well, so we really got to put the cars to test. We had a couple of V8 supercar drivers help us out with that.
Oh, really?
That was cool.
Who? Anyone?
A guy called Luke Yulden who does the endurance racing, so he does like the Bathurst 1000 and stuff like that. And so, yeah, he was our fast guy. But it was just, it felt like a really, really cool adventure by the end of it. Everyone was just really, yeah.
Oh, wowza.
We were a little bit cold. It was freezing.
Yeah, right.
But we found a winner, and the winner was, I'll give it away, it was the Porsche Cayman GTS.
The Cayman?
The Porsche Cayman
was
the winner.
No, I don't want to say bargain basement because that's not correct, but it's their entry-level sports car, would you say?
Entry-level coupe.
And, you know, that is such a good choice, I have to say, because I've driven that car as well, and it's... flawless.
Is it?
It is so good.
It is just flawless.
If you like driving, get yourself a Porsche Cayman.
Yeah. Because just anyone can totally get
Well, you know, if you're loaded. If you're not loaded, get yourself a Ford Fiesta ST. Out of 15 cars, this $26,000 car came fifth.
Really?
Top five. It blew everyone away.
Yes.
So this little $26,000 turbo Ford... Love it.
Right up there in the Raddest Car of the Year awards as well.
It's a great little thing.
A massive fan of that car.
Yep.
Where did the 86 finish? Or did you
86
have one?
Finished 11th.
Really?
So it beat the Lexus RCF. It beat the Falcon XR8. It did quite well.
Lexus RCF,
I love it. I love it.
I kind of like it. Personally.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
But when there's 15 judges and they're all voting, it's like, a lot of people didn't.
How many judges?
Well, there wasn't 15 judges, but there was 15 people driving cars that had input.
An opinion.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be hard. God, can you imagine? Was there anything that you were surprised by out of the vehicles you guys were driving?
The biggest surprise for me was probably the Jaguar F-Type.
Okay.
So this is the most expensive there, about $230,000 or something. Mm. Surprised because it's huge supercharged, 5-litre V8, rear-wheel drive. It rained the whole time. You'd think something like that would be a death trap on wet and even snow-covered roads. It was actually really good, and it's showing that, hey, the Brits are now bringing the game back to the Germans and the Italians in terms of their sports car offerings, and it's great to see. It really is.
Was that the all-wheel drive one?
No, not even. Yeah, so we get the all-wheel drive one. I think it's a launch soon.
Yeah.
So it's coming to Australia very soon. This is the rear-wheel drive one.
Yeah.
Not bad, not bad for an Indian car.
It's built in the UK.
Tata has done a brilliant job as owners of Jaguars. Yeah. Basically given Jaguar a bunch of money.
Well, they're throwing
We're going to leave you alone.
Do your thing.
Not going to tell you how to do your job because you're better at it than most. Yeah. Do your thing. The products are amazing.
I love the F-Type.
As I said, I drove the new Jaguar XE, which is their 3-series rival in Spain about 2 months ago.
I'm hearing good things.
It is phenomenal. It is going to give the BMW 3 Series a run for its money in terms of dynamics. I don't think it'll match the C-Class for luxury. I think that interior is very nice. But
yeah, so on the way up. Let me ask you as well. Was there anything that disappointed you on the that trip?
Well, apart from the XR8 supercharger exploding and had to go back on the back of a tow truck, that was a shame. The Renault Megane RS275 Trophy R.
Yes.
Very long name, but this is the sports car model. They've taken the back seats out. There's no sand damping. It's got special Ohlins suspension.
Right.
I drove that on Nürburgring in Germany. It was incredible. Mm. Drive it on the wet, on semi-slick tyres in Tassie, and it wasn't incredible. So in the dry, if the conditions had been different, it would have done a lot better. It would have got, I think it came 10th.
Okay.
So I think it would have been top five if...
Yeah. Wowza.
So that was really exciting to see.
Yeah.
You know, what is Australia's best driver's car?
Yeah, and you guys have named it. Well, I've been just thinking now. I can't think of
what's yours?
Well, this is what I do. What would you think, Mike? Have you got a
Australia's best driving
car?
Mirage? Mitsubishi Mirage, right?
A sedan.
Suzuki Solario, probably.
You do love the Solario.
Well, no, we had this chat last week. I mean, I've driven... I'm lucky enough to drive a lot of awesome cars, and yet I often have the most fun in the cheapest, sort of not nastiest, but low-end vehicles, like little tiny vans and weird city cars. Mm. I actually get a really real rush out of driving something with winding windows and
what's that
no
Suzuki
features.
Van?
The Suzuki APV. I had that recently, and I love it. There's something raw and almost organic about those older style vehicles that, you know, you can't match with a new car, but that's why the Cayman is so good, because the Cayman has that old school feel. You're a part of the car. You know, some cars are so good now they're almost too good. It's almost alienating to drive.
So what's yours, Tim?
Do you know what? I'm probably going to go this. I drove this last year. Often with my work, I tend to give the really scarily high-end sports cars to someone else in our office because I'm genuinely terrified of doing anything to the car. So I might just drive it down the street and they go, you take it. I'm quite happy to have I've got a Hyundai Sonata at the moment. That's fine. That'll do me.
Nice car.
But last year I drove the base F-Type coupe.
Supercharged V6.
Fell in love with that thing. It was white and I wanted to be inside it all day long.
Okay.
Speaking of interesting European cars, we've actually had another message from Tim, not our beloved host, Tim.
No.
Saw an amazing looking BMW in the Officeworks car park the other day. You'd call it a sports coupe, all white and slick and obviously owned, not on show. What is it? Hasn't been promoted much. And what might it have cost? It could be a few options. BMW has a couple of coupes.
Be two series?
Two series, four series, six series, all coupes, progressively bigger as their numbers climb. It could also be the
i8. That's what I was thinking.
If it was a particularly wild looking car, as in it looked like nothing else you'd ever seen before.
Like a UFO.
Yes.
Then it would be the i8, which is a plug-in hybrid, almost electric, half electric at least, supercar that costs about $300,000. And it's one of the most amazing looking things you could possibly get. Mm. Completely unlike anything else on the road, and a real, you know, highlight for BMW. So if it was that wacky, that's what it was.
Yeah,
if it was
the
mid-sized, it would have been a 4 Series. If it was really small, a 2 Series. And if it was a big, you know, luxury cruiser, it would have been a 6 Series. So there's 4 options there.
6 Series looks pretty wild too. That's still a pretty
But if
cool
it was
car.
Like a UFO had landed and it had scissor doors,
doors
it was
popping
the
up.
So,
but Mike, quickly, your favourite driver's car?
Suzuki APV.
Excellent.
I have to agree with you, Finn. I think the Porsche Cayman is right up there.
Excellent. Boys, we've got to shut it down. It's time to go.
Oh,
we're
really?
Too much fun, and we have to shut it down. Big, big, wonderful thank you to all of our fabulous listeners. Also, if you find that this edition of Fenderbender is not enough, go to joy.org.au/Fenderbender, and you can actually find our podcasts, which are always fabulous as
they
well.
They rock.
They do. Next up is Technogaze as well with Michael and the gang. Now, next week, you are in for a treat because we are going to join with Technogaze and talk some techno fun times. So make sure you are listening to that as well. Mike and Fiend, thank you so much, boys.
It was awesome.
Thank you,
Tim. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, listeners.
Thank you, listeners.
This is Tim Nicholson signing off for Fenderbender. Safe driving.
This has been a Fenderbender podcast for Joy 94.9, Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station. See joy.org.au for more details.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.